all showed up. So I just am bubbling with joy. I want to sing, okay? But God has had mercy on my life, so I am going to have mercy on you today and not sing, okay? Because I do not have one of those voices. I'm glad one person got that joke. That's okay. I pray for one person to receive this message today. So at least one person got that joke. Today starts the series in Hebrews 11. And we are going to be talking about heroes of faith. This is something that I just love to share. The person out of Hebrews 11 that I am going to be speaking on today is... you want to hold up that sign, please? Joshua. I wasn't sure. All during this week, I was talking about the story, and I was coming up with about every other J name when I was talking to people, so it happened to be quite funny. But we will be talking about Joshua. So turn with me in your pew Bibles. It is 1168. That would be the page. And I'm going to read to you the first three verses here. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what was seen was not made out of what was visible. Now jump down to verse 6. It says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those earnestly seeking him. Wow. So today, I talk about one man who did that. And that is Joshua. Who was Joshua? Well, Joshua was a slave. He was a servant, an assistant to Moses. He was a military leader. And then he was a leader of a nation. But most importantly, he was a man who believed in God completely. He was a slave in Israel. He was born into that. As Moses led the people out of Egypt, they wandered in the wilderness. But before that, God promised Moses that he would give him a promised land. So Moses sent people across the Jordan River into this land to spy out. And he sent 12 people. When the 12 came back, only two of them had faith enough to say, we can take this. The other 10 were, these were mighty giants and were afraid. So what did God do? He punished them and had them wander around the wilderness for 40 years until all that disbelieved passed away, and only their children and Joshua, the two, would inherit that land and actually be able to set foot on that land. So now when Moses passed, the Lord spoke to Joshua, and he told him that he would walk with him as he walked with Moses, that he had to be courageous. And he told him what he had to do. Now, I want you to stop for a moment and enter Rob's world just for a moment here. It doesn't explain how that conversation actually came about. So this is how I would imagine this. Okay? Let me set the stage for you. Joshua sees this stone on the ground, and it glitters. He picks it up. It's a tablet.
promised them and attack the city of Jericho. As always, should any member of the 12 tribes disobey me, then I will not be with them. This tablet will self-destruct in 5 seconds and be written on their hearts.
Okay. So that's not exactly how it happened. But it's not out of the realm of possibility here now. Okay? Because in God, all things are possible. Okay. God came to Joshua and spoke to him, and he told him that he was going to be with him as he was with Moses. Now, the people believed in Joshua, and they told Joshua, "Joshua, we will follow you and obey whatever you say." So God spoke to Joshua and said, "I want you to cross the Jordan. I want you to get your priest to carry the ark and go into the Jordan." So Joshua told his people, "Get ready in 3 days." He had his priest do that. They carried the Ark of the Covenant and entered into the Jordan River. And God parted the Jordan River as he parted the Red Sea for Moses, showing the people that God was with Joseph as he was with Moses. Joshua. I was making sure all of you were listening and paying attention. So the people followed Joshua. Thank you, James. I'm about to laugh, so I'm trying to pause here for a second. He told Joshua not only to cross the river, but to go and attack the city of Jericho. So Joshua sent 2 spies into the city. Now, this is what they saw. They saw a very large city. Of course, the reviews were giant people. Now, the city, I want you to picture it, has 2 walls. The first wall is really a bearing wall because it's on a hill. It actually is 6 foot wide, and it was 12 foot tall. Then there's a courtyard about 15 feet long. And then there is another wall that's like 18 feet tall. And at the base is 46 feet wide. This is huge. Now, as a military man, some of you know I'm a Marine. I know what it's like when someone tells you, "Okay, hey, we need to attack this." I learned about tactics and how you should go about doing this. So I can think, fine, if I'm Joshua leading this army, okay, what can we do? We can dig under, we can go above. That's going to be almost impossible with this, okay. We can take a battering ram. Well, that's way too thick because the gates were all barred up. But okay, these are possible. Maybe we can take a ladder, we can take some ropes. These people are in fear of us. They were told the people's hearts melted in fear. They knew God walked with the Israelites. So, okay, Josh, we can climb that. The people will just be in fear, so we might be able to do this. But that's not what God told him. He said, "I want you to just walk around the city of Jericho for 7 days, once a day for the first 6 days. And on the 7th day, I want you to walk around 7 times. But for each day when you walk around, I want you to walk around in silence, not to speak a word. And on the 6th day, I want you to walk around 6 times silently." Why? Walk in silence. Walk with me. And on the 7th day, on the 7th time, I want you to blow your trumpets and shout. And the walls of Jericho will come tumbling down. It says in verse 30, "By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around it for 7 days. Then they rushed in and attacked the city and took it, just as God promised Joshua." Now that is faith, walking up. Because I'll tell you what, if, as I told you, a military man, that makes no humanly, earthly possible sense. You know, I watched the Discovery Channel. They actually tried to see if noise could take that. Don't believe everything that's on the Discovery Channel, okay? But these people tried to see if noise could actually vibrate somehow so much that it would take walls down. Of course it's not going to. God is the one that took the walls down. It was the faith in God that Joshua and the people had to walk around that and obey God completely. To walk with him silently for 6 days and even on the seventh day. And of course, if you walk faithfully with the Lord, he will do exactly what he says. Always. Never a doubt. That is belief and faith. And this is just one example of how Joshua listened to God. Because Joshua believed in God his whole life. In Joshua 24:15 is a comment that Joshua makes. It's one of my favorite comments. Why? He says boldly, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That's what I want in my life and in my household. I want to serve the Lord for the rest of my life. And I want you to serve the Lord for the rest of your lives. So what does that look like? Well, that's living faith out and believing in God and his word and trusting in him. We have to know who we are in Christ as well. We have to know that if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that we are heirs to the kingdom of God, that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. We can't just read this in the Bible. We have to believe this. Because this is, wow, this is awesome. I am a son of God the Most High. And I'm adopted because he chose me. He chose you. It wasn't just something at a birth. I think that speaks even more deeply. And it's actually profound to me at times that he chose me. So some ways we can walk faith out in life are just some ways I'm going to give you that I do. Just in the past week, these are just examples. They're not the only way, the right way. These are just some ways that I want to encourage you to live it out. Encouragement. We can encourage others. When we believe in God, we have to believe his word is true. We have to read it. We have to share it. So some of the ways you can do that is by going to a cafe in town and giving an encouraging word. But take a moment before you go out each day and pray, "Lord, who do you have for me to speak to? Lord, may I be bold to speak to everyone that comes in my path and share what you have for them." So if you're in the cafe and your waitress comes over and for some reason you just feel prompted, "Hey, how are you doing? What's your name?" And you ask, just, "Hello, how are you doing?" And then you feel a prompting to just go a little deeper and to see how effect that has the person. This last week, I was with Jeff. We were talking to a waitress and he's like, "Hey, what's your name?" I was like, "I'm so bad with names, I'm probably going to forget." She's like, "Don't worry, I'm going to be gone in 2 weeks anyway." I was like, "Okay, where are you going?" She told me, and I just felt I needed to pray a blessing for her. So I asked, "Hey, that's just awesome. Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yes, of course." I didn't know she was a Christian, so she was a Christian. But there are non-Christians that love to be prayed for as well. That's just one way to show it out. I didn't come out condemning her and say, "You must go and believe or you're going to hell." Well, that may be true and all, but I don't want to go do that because, you know what, I know I wouldn't have heard that message at all. You want to be loving when you do this, but I want you to be bold. So another way I do things is I listen to the Lord. I went somewhere Thursday and passed by somebody's room and I knew them from a long time ago. I said, "Hey, how are you doing?" "Oh, she told me great, oh, blah, blah, blah." And I said, no. I was prompted, I said, "Ask her again, how are you doing?" I put a little emphasis, and she's like, "What do you mean?" And then all of a sudden, I'm like, I just have this image. It wasn't a verbal image. I just knew it was a word. I just see that you're holding on to everything. You put yourself aside, and you're just barely holding on. I said, I don't know if this makes any sense to you or not. And all of a sudden, the tears started coming, and it broke. I was able to then pray for her, bless her, and walk away with tears on my shirt and her thanking me just because I listened. Another time, I was driving to a meeting, 6:45 in the morning. I was tired and didn't really want to be there. And I park. If you know across the river, Tarrytown, there's four lanes. And I see this lady sitting in the bus stop, and I just have in my heart, go talk to her. I don't know what about what or anything, so I want you to picture. You know the game Frogger? There's cars going by, and like... No, that's not exactly what happened. I believe God parted the cars. I was able to run right across the street, okay? But as I ran across the street, knowing I had this urge to talk to her, I had no idea what to say. So what did I do? Ma'am, you might think this is the strangest thing in the world, but I feel God has put in my heart to come here and talk to you. Is there anything I can pray for you for? Or is there some? And she was a little, of course, surprised, a little reluctant. But then she started to share a few things. I was able to pray for her, bless her. Her whole demeanor changed. She was sad when I was there. When she left, she was smiling. I do not know how God even worked in her life there. There was nothing that was big and like, bam, someone was sick, I prayed for them, they healed. No, it was just something, I don't know. But when she left, she said, stop. I want to encourage you to keep doing what you're doing. So I ran across back the street, a little bit more like Frogger that time, and went to my meeting, thanking God for what he did. So these are just some ways that we can walk faith out. But we have to trust in God. And I like to say trusting in God, I want to trust in God like a child. I've told you before, my daughter prayed for my other daughter and she was healed. But I like that she has faith, where she just believes. And there's multiple stories. She was here just a few months ago, and Jeff's shoulder was hurting him. He couldn't raise his arm. I think it was past here, right, Jeff? Just somewhere like this. So she prayed for him. Instantly, he's like, wow. He can move his arm. She's prayed for ankles. She's prayed for back. She's prayed for headaches, and they're healed. I pray for people, and they're healed. Not every time. All right, just stop here. I want you to hear what I'm trying to say here. I want you to walk out and trust God for what he says he will do. Listen to what he has for you. That might not be run across the street and speak to somebody. It might be pray for somebody over here. Let me give you a quick illustration. My first time I prayed for somebody, I bailed out. I heard the Lord pray for this lady. She was a crippled. I was like, oh, man. Okay, Lord, if that person's there again when I run around, I knew she wasn't going to be there. That was a cop-out. And then I had to pull over and repent. I'm sorry for that. Lord, I will pray for the next person no matter what. Would you know, I was going to a store, and there was a lady that was coughing like every 5 seconds. It kind of got annoying, and then all of a sudden it was, oh, no, I got to pray for her. I said I would, and I'm not going to lie to God. So I went and prayed for her. Quickly, ma'am, can I pray for you? She, bam, the name of Jesus Christ. She didn't cough anymore. I ran, literally. I took my stuff. I had it planned well. I had all my stuff. I went to the register and paid for it because I was like, I wanted to run out. But in the 2 minutes that I was there left, she didn't cough again. Then I went to shovel somebody's snow, my neighbor. And I felt okay. I was like, all right. She came out and she said she had, what the heck is that thing again? Tinnitus or something like where you can't, no, you lose your balance. A vertigo, thank you. So I'm like, can I pray for you? And I've never prayed for this. This is my neighbor from before, so she knew my past life a little bit. So I prayed for her. Then I went to shovel her snow, and I went 15 back minutes later to move her car. And I'm like, hey, how are you feeling? And she goes, I was just going to come out and tell you, it's gone. I was just as shocked as she was, okay? I said, well, thank God. So we have to trust people, right? No, no, we don't. We have to trust God. So I just want to quickly review. What does this look like in our lives? If we want to have faith in God and trust in Him, what does that look like? Well, first and foremost, it's the belief in God, that He is the one true God, that He created this earth and He created us. We have to believe in Him. That's first. So ask yourself this question. Do we believe in God and that Jesus Christ is His Son who was sent to die on a cross for our sins? That the only way to be saved, to have eternal life, is through Jesus Christ? You have to ask yourself that question. If the answer is yes, I believe, okay, great. Praise God. Second, it's a trust in Him and in His Word, that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. That's this book, this Bible we have here, is the inspired Word of God. That means that these words are God's words, that they are true without exception. Not some of it, not half of it, not everything but this, or it was true then, it's not true now. No, this is the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank you. We need to read that every day. As Joshua was told in the Testament, he said, read Moses' laws day and night. Don't veer to the right or to the left of it. We now have the complete book. We have the New Testament. We know about Jesus Christ. Let's read it day and night. So ask yourself this question. Do we trust what God is saying in the Bible and who He says He is? And what He has for us. Third, now it is in faith that we walk out and walk with God. Ask yourself, do we walk in faith? Do we believe what God says in His Bible and what He speaks to us? And do we believe that it will actually happen? I want you to say yes to all of them. I want you, as myself, to say that I and my family believe in God and put my faith and trust in Him completely. In closing, I want to challenge you. Two things. I want to challenge you to pick up the Word of God and to read it daily. I want you to pray as you read it that these words will not just hit your ears and come off your mouth, that it will be written on your hearts. For what is on your heart will come out your mouth. So I want to challenge you to read this. I want you to challenge you to go love on people in the name of Jesus Christ, to trust God and to listen for that still small voice and what He has for you today, tomorrow. It may be bold or it may be subtle. It may be talk to your coworker. It may be just go through the drive-thru and bless the person behind you. It may be to pick up something or shovel somebody's driveway. Let them know. I just want to bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. We need to be bold in our faith to walk it out. That's what I want to encourage you to do. But do it in love, because He has love for you. So have love for others. Because I want you to trust in God so much that when you have a problem or a situation, whatever it is, that you will bring it to Him. And to realize when you bring something to God and trust on Him completely, you're putting it in His hands. And remember, His no is better than your yes any day. Secondly, we are going to have communion here in a few minutes. And this is just another thing Jesus told us to do, is to take this in remembrance of him all the time. But as you come forward, I want you to think, what walls in your life are guarding something that God does not want you to have? Is that a hurt, a pain, physically, spiritually, mentally? What are those walls guarding that need to come down? I want you to come forth and pray with one of our prayer people, or wait and pray with one of the pastors, elders here. And ask God to help you walk around your wall and have it taken down. And shout in praise when he does, because you will trust in him that he does. And lastly, on my first challenge I want you to do, I want you, if you're not sure how to walk this out, if my examples aren't clear enough or you need more, I encourage you and I extend the invitation to come ask me, one of the other pastors here, or one of the other elders here, to go walk it out with you and example what that is, the way it may look like in your life and in their lives. So don't just sit there and think, okay, come talk to us. No, we're not going to just pray with you and say, okay, you should do it this way. We're willing to go out on the streets, to the cafe, to the mall, somewhere out in the world, and give you an example of how to do that in your own life. As we go into communion, we remember what this is like. When Jesus, in the upper room, he broke the bread, and he says, this is my body that is broken for you and for me. He takes the cup and he passes the cup around. And he says, this is my blood that was shed for you and for me. So as we come up, remember what these elements are. They represent the body of Christ that was broken for you and me. The blood of Christ that was shed so that we may have eternal life. A forgiveness from our sins. Because that is the only way. So remember that. Now if you are on a journey, no matter where you are on that part of that journey, I want to encourage you to come forward in a few minutes and take these elements with us. Bow with me for a moment. Lord, I thank you. I thank you for this day. I thank you for these people. I thank you what you have done in my life, in the changes that you have made, the things that you show me. I ask, Lord, as I ask for everyone here, that you will speak to me and to them loudly and clearly, so this sheep and these sheep may hear your voice and obey it and put their trust in you. Lord, I can only do what you ask me to do, and I thank you for asking. I ask you to bless these people. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.